You'll be turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight, and I pray that the message be a blessing to you. And this is not a message for youth. This is not a message for college students. This is not a message just for adults. It's a message for anyone, from the children to the oldest person in here. We don't ever reach a place in our lives where we're not faced with temptation anymore. And I would like to present a message entitled, "It's All About Relationships." It's all about relationships. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I was reading through my Bible several weeks ago, and don't always go looking for a message when I'm reading, but every once in a while, Lord, just speak to me about something, and I'll put that in a category in my mind that I call a seed thought. And when I get an opportunity to preach, I try to come back and pursue those thoughts. And this message and this thought has been on my heart for several weeks. Had several different examples that played this message title out, that it's all about relationships. Everything in life is all about relationships. If you'd stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word, we're going to read the first six verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I pray that the message be a blessing to you. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and to cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou." That's a lot of names right there. "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shalt thou not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But this shall ye deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Remember this message title. It's all about relationships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege and opportunity to be back in your house tonight. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, the message that you have been speaking in my heart about for several weeks now. I pray that, Lord, you would remind us, and Lord, that you would warn us from your word that it's all about relationships. I pray that, God, tonight that we would take inventory of the relationships that we have in our lives. And Lord, whether they're leading us to reward or they're leading us to ruin, there's not one person, God, that's exempt from these standards, from these examples. And I pray that, God, you would remind us of that here tonight. Lord, help us to cultivate relationships that drive us closer to you. Lord, that they may be anchors in our lives, Lord, that keep us from wandering astray. I pray that, God, you would take these scriptures that will be read here tonight, Lord, the thoughts that you placed upon my heart. I pray that you would speak to hearts, God, in a way that only you can. I pray that, God, you would remove every distraction from this place. And for the next few moments, Lord, that you would just speak to us from your word. I pray that, God, you do the work that only you can do. I pray that you would speak to us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Over and over in the scriptures, we're presented with relationships and relationship boundaries. The husband to the wife, the child to the parents, the Israelites to the world, the light to the darkness. And the Bible gives us these, as it says, as examples. I want you to consider a few individuals and the relationships that they had in their lives and how it affected them, and then we're going to dive into the scriptures for what I believe the Lord has for us here tonight. But consider Lot, just a few chapters into the pages of scripture. He's a man that was a relative of Abraham, and you remember that Abraham was described as the friend of God. He was in a good place, was blessed beyond measure, so much so that Lot and Abraham could not dwell in the same place, and Abram gave him the choice, said, just divide yourself from me. If you turn to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go this way, I'll go that way. And you remember that Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plains towards Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Just a few verses later, we find that Lot is not only pitching his tent towards Sodom, but he's dwelling in Sodom. And then just a few verses later, he's sitting in the gate occupying a seat of authority in Sodom. The angels come and they begin to tell Lot, you need to get your family out of here. You need to warn your family, your sons or your daughters, your sons-in-laws. But the Bible says is that Lot seemed unto them as one that mocked when he went to warn them. What happened? Well, the relationships that Lot had in his life, the relationship that was severed between him and Abram and then was cultivated between him and Sodom, led him towards ruin. See, it's just all about relationships. What about Samson? The man that we studied in our Sunday school class not long ago, he was to lead the children of Israel. His birth was prophesied by a theophanies, an Old Testament appearance of Christ. And they revealed to his mother that Samson would one day begin to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. Well, it's not too long and too many verses into the story of Samson that we read that he's fallen for a Philistine woman. Not many verses after that, there's another Philistine that he falls in love with, a harlot in Gaza. Then ultimately his destruction comes through Delilah, a woman of the Valley of Sorek, another Philistine that he falls in love with. Just a crazy story where she says over and over again to him, and she vexes his soul. She literally nags him to death. Tell me wherein your great strength lies. Oh, you've not told me all your heart. You're lying to me. Just tell me all your heart. Where is your great strength at? And I believe Samson probably finally reached the point of despair where he was like, okay, I'll tell you. Just cut my hair. That's where my strength's at. You know what happened in Samson's life is it's all about relationships. Instead of maintaining a strong relationship between him and the Lord, he severed that relationship and began to pursue the lust of his own heart until he ended up in a place where the devil divided him and distracted him and ultimately destroyed him. And Samson dies blinded and chained in the hands of the enemy. See, it's all about relationships. Well, here comes Balaam. You remember this story, the man that had the donkey that talked to him. And he's hired by the king of Moab, Balak, to come and curse God's people. And he says, well, I can't speak less or more, only exactly what God tells me to speak. And he gives some pretty amazing prophecies about Christ that would one day come true. But then as Balaam is heading back to his land, he gives an insight to the king of Moab on how to spoil the children of Israel. He said, if you would entice them to commit fornication with you, this will be their demise. And that's exactly what happens. The Israelites begin to commit fornication with the Moabites, and it leads to God's wrath and judgment upon the children of Israel. See, it's all about relationships. Then consider Solomon, the son of King David. The man foretold that he would build the great temple of God, and David had prepared with all of his might before he would die. And the day comes where Solomon has finally finished the temple, and he's got 120,000 sheep that he has slain, and they hallow the middle of the court because there was not enough room to receive all the sacrifices. And Solomon prays upon this scaffold that he's built, and he prays heaven down. He says, God, the heaven of heavens can't contain you, much less this house that I have built. And at the end of his prayer, the fire of God falls and consumes the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord fills the temple in so much that the priest can't even go in to minister. Just a few verses later, we find Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11, that in his later years, that he loved many strange women that led his heart away from God. See, that's why I said it's not just for the children. It's not just for the youth. And you may say, well, the youth need to hear this. Amen, I agree with you. The college need to hear this. Amen, I agree with you. I believe every man, woman, boy, and girl needs to hear it, because until we reach heaven, there is a place where we can sin. And none of us have reached the place of sinless perfection where we're not tempted anymore, where we're not prone to wander anymore. And that's why we have to be so careful until God takes us and promotes us to glory, because none of us are exempt from sin. None of us are exempt from messing up. And what we have to remember is, and what we have to keep our eyes on is to keep it on the goal and remember that it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. We see it affects so many people. It affects these men that I just read about. It affects nations. As we're going to read here in just a moment, it affected the whole nation of Israel. It affects communities and nations. It affects churches one individual at a time, because we don't maintain the relationships that we need to maintain in our lives. Because see, it's all about relationships. Every bit of it is all about relationships. You'll read in Deuteronomy chapter 7 that God told them he didn't set his love upon them because they were the most, but because they were few in number. He said, you were the fewest of all people, but the Lord loved you. If anybody had an excuse to serve the Lord, it was the children of Israel. They enjoyed a special place as God's chosen people, as he had brought them out of the bondage of Egypt and led them towards the promised land and had given them specific instructions. They were to be different and to maintain separation in their lives. See, when we lose our separation, we lose our power, and we lose the blessings and the benefits of following after God, and we are in a culture, a church, in a church culture that promotes, oh, just compromise, just go along with the ways of the world, and that is the sure way that we just pack everything up and just close up shop. Because when we lose our separation, we lose our power. Why? Because it's all about relationships. The devil's wanting us to blur the lines and to muddy the water that we don't have any separation between us and the world anymore. And there's so many churches and so many individuals that are that way that we have no weight in our testimony because we live exactly as the world lives. We just go to a building on Sundays. See, there needs to be a separation in our lives, and it's formed through the relationships that we have in our lives. God told the children of Israel, the way you raise your cattle is going to be different than the land that you're going to. The way that you grow your crops is going to be different. You don't intermingle your seed. You've got to have pure seed for your crops. The way you make your clothing and the way you wear your clothing is different than the land that you're going to. And the way that you follow my covenant is different than the land that you're going to. And no doubt those people in that land would look at the Israelites and say, why do y'all not harvest on Sunday? This is like the best day to harvest. It's a beautiful day. Well, this is our Sabbath. See, God instructed us to take a day of rest, whether it's in earing or in harvest or whenever it is. We're supposed to be different. We want you to know that we are different. And no doubt these people would look at the Israelites and say, what is wrong with you? See, there was a separation. There was supposed to be different. And as long as they maintained that separation, they enjoyed the blessings and the goodness of God. God would say, and I believe it's in Deuteronomy chapter 28, that He would command a blessing on them. I've been thinking about this command for a few weeks. You know who can interfere with that command? Nobody. God commanded that the light should shine from the darkness. You know who could interfere with that? Nobody. You know who could interfere with this blessing that was intended for the children of Israel? If God had commanded it, nobody could. The only person that was going to mess it up is if they messed it up from the inside. I believe I heard Pastor Keith say this not long ago, that it's not the attacks from the outside that we have to worry about. It's the attacks from the inside. And see, what happens with the children of Israel is they begin to lose their separation, and they've been given specific instructions. Watch your relationships. Don't intermingle with these people because they will lead your heart astray. I'm reminded of these verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants us to be separate in the way that we live. The devil's plan is no different than it was several thousand years ago. The means may have changed, the avenues may have changed, but it's still the same sin, and it's still the same temptations. And the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Well, how's he going to do that? He's going to do that through our relationships that we have in our lives. See, it's all about relationships. Listen to these other warnings that God would give. He didn't just say one time in passing, hey, don't intermingle with these folks, they're going to lead you astray. This wasn't just a brief thing that God would say, but He would say it over and over and over again. In Exodus 34, 10 through 16, we find that He blatantly says, don't make a covenant with these people. Don't make any kind of agreement or marriages with them. Joshua chapter 23, verses 12 and 13, else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord hath given you. Ezra chapter 9, verse 12, now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance unto your children forever. Judges chapter 3, the children of Israel intermingle. Nehemiah chapter 13, he is hopping mad because the people of the land have intermingled and they can't even speak the Jews' language because they've intermarried with these folks.
And he says, do you not realize that this is what God judged Solomon and the nation of Israel for, is that he turned his heart away and did that which God blatantly said not to do? Because they no longer considered their relationships. I want us to consider these things tonight as we consider relationships. It won't be long tonight. I've just got a few slides I want to show you tonight and maybe help build the bridge here with some thoughts that we've got. All right. Maybe. Technology, there we go. Technology is a wonderful thing when it works. Brant, I will turn the projector on here. There we go. Okay. So, to help me paint this picture for you, I want us to see where the children of Israel are at. They're enjoying the good of the land. God said that He would bless their houses, their fields, their herds. God will bless everything that they had. He would bless their dwellings. They would have a level of prestige and respect because they're following after God. Their armies would rule over the enemies, and that God would give the rain that they need. But on the other side is where the devil would love to put us. And it's into idolatry and false gods. It's into sexual perversion, wickedness. It's into sacrificing of children, as these nations would do all sorts of craziness as they would offer their kids in sacrifice. They would have the pleasures of sin for a season, and the judgment of God would be on their land, and they would be removed from the promised land. What we've got to see is, as Moses is giving this warning to the children of Israel, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. They need to live in this white section and enjoy the goodness of God. Well, how in the world are we going to get them to cross over the Grand Canyon of spiritual apostasy and idolatry into the judgment of God and being removed from the land? How are we going to get there? Well, we're going to get there through the bridge of relationships. And what we have in this bridge of relationships is a pursuit of a relationship. If we're going to have a boy date a girl or a girl date a guy, there's got to be a pursuit of that relationship. Now, I know a Baptist church is the worst place for people to assume things. You can take a college young lady or young man and you can sit them up here on the front row. And if they were to sit together, you might as well go ahead and send marriage invitations out, because everybody in the church is like, I wonder what's happening with them up there. I think they're married. I wonder how long they've been dating. Let me get on Facebook, see if their relationship status says this, right? There's got to be a pursuit that happens in that relationship. And it quickly becomes the talk of the town, right? But there's a pursuit in that relationship. You will never have a relationship with anybody unless there is a pursuit of that relationship. It takes an initiation. You don't just assume things. I don't just go over to random people's houses and be like, hey, how's it going? I just thought we could be friends. Maybe we can hang out tonight. There's got to be a pursuit in that relationship that I get to know that person. That leads us to the next thing, is that it involves time. It involves time. You don't just overnight become friends with somebody, more than likely. But that relationship is built over a period of time through that pursuit. And in the midst of that comes a comfort level. God has blessed me with some great friends in my life. God has blessed me with great friends here at Pleasant Hill. And there's different comfort levels associated with all of them. I don't spill my entire heart to every friend that I have. Do y'all? I don't think you do. See, we've got different levels of comfort. I've got some friends that I'll chit-chat with. We'll make small talk, and that's about as far as it goes. I've got other friends that if I am dying on the inside, I'll call them and say, would you please pray for me? And I will bare my heart to that person because there's a deeper level of comfort with that person. See, it all comes through our relationships. God knew that as the children of Israel went into the promised land, that they were never going to make this leap across the Grand Canyon of idolatry and sin without there being some sort of connection between the two. See, they were going to live in the goodness of God and the blessings of God, and they had seen all the mighty power and the miracles of God, and they were living in a good place, enjoying the blessings of God, and it a blessing on them. But God knew, and the devil knew, that the way that that was going to get messed up was relationships. It's all about relationships. Very seldom, I do believe, that somebody would wake up one day as a strong Christian and wake up the next day just headlong into sin. See, it usually doesn't happen that way. There's usually some sort of connection that's made between where you are and where the devil wants to lead you to, and it's built through that relationship. And that relationship comes through a pursuit initially that someone pursues you, and you're like, nah, I can't do that. And no doubt as the children of Israel went into the promised land that there was a pursuit maybe from the children of Israel. Man, y'all look like you have way more fun than we do. We got all these rules. And no doubt those people that they're building a relationship with, they didn't have the culture and they didn't have the covenant and they didn't have the God that Israel had, and they began to compare their notes. Man, that sounds like a lot more fun. Yeah, you don't get to do that. We get to do that all the time. There's not even any rules about that. You should come with us, man. We have way more fun. And what happens is that pursuit begins to happen. And over time, that thought becomes a desire. Man, that does sound pretty good. I do feel so bound up in what I'm doing. This is so old-fashioned. This may work for my grandparents, but it won't work for me. And what happens is there becomes a comfort level. Hey, we're having this festival for this false god that we've got over here. You should come on Saturday night. I don't know if I can do that. And so many of us are so good at resisting temptation the first time. But then comes the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth pursuit of that same temptation. And what happens is over time, that comfort level goes up with that person. And then we're like, I may just swing by and see what's going on. I mean, I'm not going to partake of what they're doing. I'm not going to be involved in the craziness they're involved. I just want to go see what it's all about so that I'll know. I'll know what I'm missing. I'll just ease by there, and God knows that I'm going to be the good witness that I need to be in this wicked place, and I'm just going to roll through there. I'm going to roll in and roll out, and it's going to be okay. Well, how is that built? It's built through relationships. And the only way that the devil is going to get us from where God wants us to be to where he wants us to be is through relationships. It's all about relationships. My parents are here tonight, and I'll give you some insight of teenage Jason, okay? I was never a wild kid, never did nothing really crazy. I feel like I was a pretty good kid. I think my mom and dad would tell you that. I never got involved in anything. And I really tried to do the right thing. But it would wear me out sometimes because I'd come home and I'd have some music that was like a little bit just on the edge. And I remember my mom, she'd look at me and she'd say, "You're not listening to that." And I'm like, it's not that bad. It's not heavy metal. I mean, I'm not really trying to push the envelope. You're not listening to that." I didn't understand then, but I understand now. And she would look at me and she would say, "Who'd you go with the other night?" I'd say, "This person." "You don't need to hang out with them. This is a person from my youth group. You don't need to hang out with them." Can I remind us tonight that just because we share the pew with somebody doesn't mean that they're going to be the best influence on our life? And looking back now, I can see what she was talking about, because there are some hoodlums that I had in my youth group that 15, 20 years later, you know what they still are? They're hoodlums. You know what happens is that she was trying to protect me from the relationships that I had around me. Not that I was hanging out with those people all the time, but they were toxic, and I couldn't see it. I couldn't see the forest for the trees. And some of you young folks, you may get into it with your parents sometimes because they're trying to do the right thing, and you just don't understand right now. But I pray that we could see the picture tonight, that it's all about relationships. It's just all about relationships. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 18, or 28, or 58, or 78, it's all about relationships. And the devil is going to use the same tool in every situation, and he's used it for thousands of years. He's got it perfected, and what we need to do is, with eyes of discernment, look at everything that is going on in our lives and realize it's all about relationships. When I go to work, it's all about relationships. When I go to school, it's all about relationships. As you go off to college, and boy, I'm scared to death for all of our college students. Why? It's all about relationships. And how the devil is going to get us from where God wants us to be to where he wants us to be is a bridge of relationships that comes through time and a pursuit and a comfort level that gets us to a place where we're going to fall. And it's all about relationships. What do these relationships affect? Well, it affects My attitude. It affects my attitude. When I'm around God's people, my attitude's different than when I'm trying to start dabbling in some stuff. Because my relationships have affected my attitude and the way I perceive things and look at things, and maybe things that I once looked at and said, there's I'm going to do that. When I get around the wrong people, it clouds my judgment, and I'm like, I may think about doing that. Well, how does that happen? It's all about relationships. It comes through that relationship, and it affects my attitude towards my God, towards His Word, towards His will, towards His ways. It affects everything about it. And there are so many things that we have to watch in our lives, and what more do we need to watch than our relationships with other people, even inside of a church? There's people that I had in my youth group, in my college group, that their attitude was just toxic. It's awful. You hang around them and you feel like your best friend's died, and I mean, nothing's ever going to get better, and you've lost everything you've got. And that's the way that they live from day to day. Why? Because their attitude's terrible. Well, how does that affect me? Well, when I link up with a person like that, it affects my attitude. It's not long before my attitude affects my actions. Because that relationship has built the bridge between where I'm at and where the devil wants me to be. It's affected my mind, and I'm not thinking clearly anymore. And then I begin to act in a way that is uncharacter-like for me. How does that happen? Through the influence of a relationship. Because it's all about relationships. It's not long before the children of Israel go in and start intermarrying. Man, my son, he married the most beautiful woman over there of the Hittites. She's just... Their family is so rich and wealthy, it won't be long until, you know, we get some of that business savvy that they've got, and it affects their actions. And one by one, the nation began to topple because they did not watch their relationships, and they began to intermingle and intertwine with these people. And just as God said, it brought their ruin. See, our relationships are either going to bring a reward to us. And thank God I've got some of those relationships that you get around that person and it's like iron sharpening iron. And you feel better, and they're like, Brother Danny calls sometimes and he'll preach to me for about 3 or 4 minutes. Brother, I'm sorry I called you. I'm like, I wish you'd call me more. Because when you call, it encourages my heart and that iron gets sharpened in my mind and it's a blessing. Or we'll have other relationships that if we don't watch it, we're trying to do the right thing. And we get around that person and it affects our attitude. And then it starts affecting our actions. And then we get ill when people are like, what is wrong with you? Ain't nothing wrong with me. What are you talking about? What happens? That relationship begins to affect our attitude and our actions, and it's not long before it occupies our attention. How does somebody get messed up? It's through relationships. It's all about relationships. Now you think, well, this is great for the children of Israel. Jason, this is 2020. I got you. I realize that. But I believe we can take an Old Testament principle and apply it to present day, and we can realize that the picture's the same, the bridge is the same, and if we don't watch it, we're going to be in the same place. Okay? So let's go to our next slide here, if it'll work. Come on. There we go. Okay. That is a self-portrait of me. Jeremy says that my legs look like a chicken, so that's pretty accurate. So, God's plan for you and me, okay? That was the children of Israel on that side. Now it's you and me, okay? And this is God's plan for my life, that I would live in the goodness of God. Just live in the goodness of God. Jackson played a song for us a couple weeks ago. Your goodness, it's running after me. Everywhere I look, I see the goodness of God. I see kids getting saved, and I know it's been a crazy year, but I was just looking through my pictures the other day on my phone of winter camp and different things that God's allowed us to do, and you know what I see? The goodness of God. And I look at my family and the wife that God's given me, and I look at my children, and you know what I see? The goodness of God. I see the home that God just allowed me to move into just a few weeks ago, and I know it's just a material possession, but you know what I see? The goodness of God. Everywhere I look, I see the goodness of God. Where does God want me to live? In the goodness of God. We often tell our teenagers as we go on these different retreats, there is no better life than you can live than just one lived in submission and obedience to Christ, because He will bless you. Yes, you'll have problems, but I promise you, you'll live in the best life that you can live This is not a Joel Osteen book. This is facts, okay? Live the best life you can live right now. How? In the goodness of God. Just living obedient to Him. I'm going to attend church. That's what God wants us to do. It's amazing that we have a generation of folks that can go to church and are healthy, and we've got folks that are older and cannot make it to church and would love to be there and would if they could. But we've got young folks that won't. They just won't. Part of that's due to their relationships. And we'll get to that here in just a moment. But God's plan for you and me is that we would live in the goodness of God, that we would attend church, that we would seek God's will. We covered this on our senior trip just a few weeks ago. How do I know God's will? Well, I do what He's already showed me first. I'm never going to know the unknown part of God's will unless I do what He's already showed me. Read my Bible, go to church and give and pray and witness and all of these things together. Let me focus on what I know right now and He'll show me what I don't know. He wants me to live in the goodness of God's will. That I would read God's Word. Encouraged our teenagers just a few weeks ago, have a time and place that you read God's Word. I've got a time, I've got a place, it's on my schedule, it's a part of my day. That we would read God's Word. That we would be devoted and separate from the world. Now, we've got the devil's desired place for us. That we would be addicted. I don't think in the course of human history there's ever been a greater time of addiction than right now. Pornography, drugs, alcohol. It seems like everybody is addicted. And that's where the devil wants us to live. Drugs and alcohol is one of the greatest things that he uses. He would love to destroy our marriages. There's pornography all around us, a life of sin and ungodly music. He wants to use these things in our lives as a way to get us there. Well, how are we going to get there? It's relationships. Because don't forget, it's all about relationships. An entire nation was brought to its knees, was taken captive to a foreign land. Why? Because they let their relationships slip. They no longer maintain their relationship with God. This may come through a coworker. You're with them more than you are your actual family. How important is it for us that we would watch our relationships? It's been a crazy time for Keo and I over the past couple months. We had several friends of ours that got married within a few months period of us. There's about five or six of us within about a year, year and a half at our church got married. We're one of two couples, maybe three, out of six that are left. There's been two couples just in the past year that's got divorced. Well, how does that happen? Well, relationships through a coworker began to poison their mind and affected their attitude and their actions, drew their attention, and before long, they're in that far country. Well, how did they bridge the gap between where God wanted them to be and where they ended up? Relationships. It's all about relationships. It may be a family member. You would hope that your family leads you in the right direction, but that's not always the case anymore. We've got kids that come with us every camp trip that their testimony is, I don't want to be like my dad. I don't want to be like my mom. What a sad case of these kids that come in because their family members are leading them astray. Could be a friend. Could be a dating relationship. You know why parents get so uptight about dating relationships? You want to know? Because it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. When you see a young lady that's saved herself and she's pure and she begins to go into the dating world and maybe there's this hoodlum that wants to date her and it makes mom and dad a nervous wreck, you know why? It's all about relationships. Because the way that the devil works through a young lady or through a young man is that that relationship happens and either one or two things is going to happen. It's going to be a reward or it's going to be the ruin of you, and you better have your eyes wide open as you walk into that relationship, because you may walk into it thinking, oh, this is going to be grand, but the devil's just using that relationship. Why? He's just trying to move you from one place to the other. He's going to use that dating relationship. How important is it that we pray and seek the Lord about our relationships? It's so important. And I know this is an inanimate object. We got a relationship with our cell phone. Really do. I wish that our society as a whole treated God as good as we do our cell phone. Never leave home without it. Always got it charged. If we drop it and break the screen, boy, we're going to get that thing fixed. If it's not working, we go and we have it And man, we panic when we've left it somewhere. If we would just do that with the Lord in His Word, if we got up every day, I couldn't wait to get into God's Word. Wouldn't go a day without looking at His Word 15, 20, 50 times, maybe more than that. Got panicked when I left my Bible at home. You imagine how our society would be different. I read in a book the other day that the average screen time is like 8 or 9 hours a day, and they said that at the end of a person's life that we may spend 11 years in front of a screen. Did you hear that? 11 years. How does the devil take a person that is wanting to serve God and get them into a place where he's wanting to work on their heart and mind and lead them into the place that he wants them to be? Well, that relationship happens sometimes through that cell phone. It's so easy. He gets into your heart, into your mind. You never even have to leave your room. It's just straight in there. I heard somebody say this, that we lock our doors, we put up security cameras, but then we leave that little wire of that internet that comes into our house. And it's such a tool of the devil to get our hearts and our minds. Well, how does that happen? Through that relationship. And it's bridging the gap between where we are, and he's using the lust of our place that we're addicted to pornography and we're far away from where God wants us to be. How does that happen? Relationships. It's all about relationships. Now, I'll put this side note at the bottom. Sometimes these items over on the side are the means to the end, and sometimes they're the end. So let me paint this picture. Sometimes he's going to use a coworker to get you introduced to drugs or alcohol, pornography, whatever sin you want to put in there so that you will become addicted. Okay? And then other times, he'll use pornography or your cell phone to get you to have a busted up marriage. See, he can interchange these things, and sometimes that's the end, and sometimes it's a means to an end, but he's always working through these relationships, and he's moving these pieces around to get us from where we are to where he wants us to be. And it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. Why would God warn an entire nation of people time and time and time again not to intermingle? Don't lose your separation. Why? Because it's all about relationships. It's just all about relationships. Now, I had another slide, but we couldn't get it up there. It got messed up. But here's the sad part, okay? We've got us trying to serve God. We're over here. We're trying to do the right thing. Everything is going great. We're living in the goodness of God, the will of God. We're reading God's Word. We're going to church. We're trying to serve God to the best of our ability. The devil inserts a bad relationship into our lives that takes our pursuit and our time and our attention, affects our mind and our actions, and we get over here into the far country. You know what happens sometimes is that relationship that we've got from point A to point B with is gone. We're not even friends with those people no more. But you know where we're at? We're still in the far country, living in the results of a bad relationship. But I don't want to leave you on a bad note tonight, okay? So either you're in several places tonight. You're either in that place where you're really trying to do good, and can I cheer you on tonight and say, amen, keep at it, watch your relationships. Or you're on the fringe over here where you've got some relationships that you're maintaining that you know you really shouldn't. And it doesn't matter if you're 18, 28, 58, 78. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're on the fringe. You know it. God knows it. And you need to cut some cords tonight and burn some bridges. That may be you tonight. Or you're completely on the other side of this, and you're right where the devil wants you to be. You've pursued a bad relationship through a coworker, family member, your phone, something else, pornography, drugs, and the devil's got you right where he wants you. And maybe you're really trying to quit. Maybe that relationship is dissolved, but you're still over here in the far country. You know how you get back? Relationships. It's all about relationships. It's just all about relationships. If I'm going to come from the far country and get back to where God wants me to be, I'm going to have to do like the prodigal son and say, God, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against my father. Would you make me as one of your hired servants? And you know what happens is when we begin to pursue the right kind of relationship, that right kind of relationship is pursuing us. It's not just a one-way pursuit, but he's always looking for us. You remember that father was, he was looking for that son, and he saw him when he was a long ways off. And if you find yourself in the middle of the far country tonight, do not put your head on your pillow tonight. Living in the far country, would you pursue the right kind of relationship so that you could get back to where God wants you to be? Did you know that our Heavenly Father loves us and knows that we are dust and knows the temptations and the frame that we have and knows that we are prone to sin? And He gave us 1 John 1:9 that if we would confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we would just confess it and say, God, I'm sorry, I've done this. You know what begins to happen is we begin to build that bridge with that relationship back to our Heavenly Father. And it would be good for us if it's been a while before we've picked up God's Word, if we would begin to build a relationship with God's Word and say, God, I'm going to make it a priority in my life when I wake up every day. And I may not understand everything that I read, but God, I'm going to be faithful in my devotion time to You, and I'm going to read Your Word so that You can speak to my heart, and it comes through Your Word so that You can make the child of God more like the Son of God. And God, I want to be in Your house. And I know You're here tonight, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but there may be somebody listening on Facebook tonight that you find yourself in the far country, and the very place that you need to be is the very place that the devil's driven you away from, and it's in the house of God. You know what we experienced tonight? I know you probably couldn't hear it if you're listening on Facebook, but we heard testimonies tonight. And you know what that was? That was our family sharing their heart tonight. And it was a blessing. Because you hear people that have been spoken to by our Heavenly Father this week in very unique ways. And God is this to me and God is that to me. And you know what it does? It just encourages us. And what we need to do is build the bridge of that relationship and get back into the place where God wants us to be. Because it's all about relationships. It's just all about relationships. So I pray tonight that we would cultivate the relationships that we need. We will never bridge the Grand Canyon between where we are and where God wants us to be to where the devil wants us to be without relationships in our lives. I'd say very seldom, I'm not saying it never happens, but very seldom would a person just wake up and say, I think I'm just going to drink today. They've probably had an influence that pushed them in that direction. Probably very seldom would somebody wake up and say, I think I'm going to try dope today. Probably had somebody influence them in that direction. Because see, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. If I could do one example before we leave here tonight, Pastor Keith, Zach, Jackson, and Dwayne, would y'all come up here for a minute? I may need Zeb too. Be on standby. Okay. Pastor Keith, he's trying to do right, which thank the Lord he is. He's our pastor. All right. He's trying to do right. Come on up, Zeb. And Dawson. Yes, got you too. Okay. So we talked several weeks ago at our senior trip that it takes five things to thrive as a Christian. And my youth pastor told me this, I've never forgot, it's been a long time ago. But Bible, church, prayer, giving, and witnessing. Okay? Five things to thrive as a Christian. Bible, church, prayer, giving, witnessing. Okay? Pastor Keith's trying to do the right thing, and so he's reading his Bible. And this is like a little anchor for Pastor Keith. Okay? He's trying to go to church, and Zach is going to be another anchor to keep Pastor Keith where he needs to be. Bible, church, prayer. He's praying, he's seeking the Lord. This is going to be another little anchor. Come on over. And he's giving the first fruits, and he's tithing, and he's giving God his portion because God owns everything, and he just asked for 10% of it back. I think that's a pretty good deal. And he's really trying to do the right thing, and he's giving, okay? And then also, when God gives him the opportunity, though he's scared to death, and his heart's beating out of his chest, and his palms are sweaty, he witnesses when he can. And though he feels like he's fumbling all over himself, this is another anchor to keep Pastor Keith where he needs to be, okay? All of these relationships that we maintain in our lives are like little anchors that keep us from drifting too far away. All of us are prone to sin. Why? How do I know that? We're all clothed in the same flesh. And all of us have to beat back the fleshly desires that bombard us on a daily basis. But when we maintain the right kind of relationships in our lives, it's like little anchors that keep us from drifting away. Now, it's going to be hard to get Pastor Keith off course because he's maintaining all of these things in his life. But rest assured that when he begins to neglect the relationships that he has in his life, and he's like, you know what, I don't have time to read my Bible today. You sit down, thank you. I don't have time to read my Bible today. I think I'll watch SportsCenter. Facebook's pretty interesting today. I'll just go, I may wash my car. Really don't have time to read God's Word. And, you know, it comes time for church, and I'm so tired. I've been working overtime, and man, I'm just so sleepy. I've got one day off. I know y'all have never heard that excuse. I've got one day off. You know, it's just kind of my day. I just do my thing. I sleep in, and I don't think I'm going to go to church. And I'm not going to Bible church prayer. I'm not going to pray today. I've got everything. Everything's going pretty good right now. I feel like I've got a good handle on my life. And I'm not going to pray the way that I need to. So I think I'm going to neglect that. Bible church prayer, giving. Man, I want this new car. And if I give God his portion, I won't have enough. So I think I'll just buy this car, and I'm gonna buy these nice clothes, and yeah, I think I'll just do that with my money. And witnessing, I got y'all mixed up, it's all good. Witnessing, I don't feel like witnessing because I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying. I'm not going to church, and I'm not giving. So witnessing's probably just a last resort anyways. People would probably laugh if they found out he was a Christian anyways. Right? So now when the storms of life come and he's going back and forth, how much easier is it for him to get off course because he's not maintained the right relationships in his life? Thank you, Pastor Keith. All of it is little anchors that we need, that you and I need, because everybody, I need accountability. Pastor Keith needs accountability. Every young man, young lady, every person in this building needs accountability. And if you get upset when somebody asks you, how are you doing? What are you looking at? How's your money doing? What's going on in your life? Are you reading your Bible? And we get offended at those things, just go ahead and raise the red flag that I've got something going on in my life. Well, I'm not maintaining the right relationships in my life. Because at the end of the day, say it with me, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. If you want to close your eyes and bow your head tonight, I just want to ask you, how's your relationships in your life? How's your relationships? How many of you would be honest enough to say tonight, Pastor Jason, to the best of my knowledge, I'm trying to be what I need to be for God. I'm actively pursuing God's will. I'm trying to read His Word. I'm in church tonight. And I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. That's me tonight. Does anybody be honest enough to say, I'm really trying? I see those hands. It's all right, you can be honest. I'm really trying. Would there be anybody that would be honest enough to say, Pastor Jason, would you please pray for me? I'm on the fringe tonight. It might be a relationship with somebody else, with a thing, with a substance, and I'm on that edge tonight. Thank you for your honesty. I'm on the edge of that tonight, and I need the Lord to help me. Would there be anybody honest enough tonight, and I know it's going to take guts to raise your hand for this, but I'm that person. I'm on the other side of the bridge, and I've allowed a relationship to lead me in a place away from God, and I need the Lord to help me tonight. Is there anybody like that here tonight? Anybody at all? If you would come tonight, I know we don't have a piano player. I know we don't have any kind of special music. I know it's going to be quiet, and it might be awkward, but that's okay. Because all of us need to maintain the right kind of relationships in our lives. The relationship through Bible, church, prayer, giving, and witnessing. The kind of relationships with my family, with my friends, with my coworkers. Maybe you just want to come and pray tonight and say, God, help me to be the influence in somebody's life for good. There's so many crazy influences going on in our world today. We need people that's just going to do right and be right before the Lord. If you need to come pray tonight, I would encourage you to do that.
You need to hear this, and do not let me interrupt you coming to the altar. The Lord placed a burden on my heart a couple Wednesday nights ago when I preached a message on what's our church worth. Does anybody remember that message? What's our church worth? What's it worth to the world? What's it worth to our city? And what's it worth to our families? What's our church worth? The Lord began to deal with me about three different areas. Three different areas. If you would have been in some of our deacons' meetings, you would understand one of these areas very strong. Three different areas the Lord began to deal with me about in our church. I don't even know how to even get to where the burden is yet, but I'm waiting on God to show me, and we'll get there. The first area that the Lord burdened me about was children. Pastor Jason does a phenomenal job with our middle-aged young people, like middle school, high school, going into college. The Lord's really burdened me about little kids just here in the last little bit, just little ones, little children. Been really burdened about kids lately. What can we do for kids? Another thing the Lord's really burdened me about, and the only person who knows what I'm telling you is my wife and Pastor Jason, maybe Grayson. Is hungry people. People that are hungry. We sit in a deacon's meeting not too many months ago, and Brother Don shared with us about some needs in our county and in Madison County. just people that's hungry. I can't get it off my mind. Hungry people. But then it's this, the addicted. People that are addicted. He was preaching this tonight, and I was sitting there going, it's all about relationships. It is all about relationships. I've been so burdened about people that are addicted. That was on a Wednesday night. Thursday, there was a lady called my wife and said, would it be okay if I brought some ladies from a home that's either been addicted to drugs or that's just got out of prison? Would your church be okay if I did that? My wife said, if you knew the conversation me and my husband just had and the message that he just preached Wednesday night, you would be jumping up and down right now excited about bringing those people who are addicted. Now, you've got to make sure I'm telling this right, Miss Watkins. That following Sunday, there was a group of ladies showed up outside in our parking lot, right out of prison, or addicted. A couple of them was back again this week. One of those ladies looked like the sweetest little grandma you've ever seen in your life, and she is, sitting in our service two Sunday mornings ago, shared this testimony with my wife, relationships. She said, I growed up, I was a good kid. I lived my life, I was a good person. Not perfect, just a good person. She said, but when I reached the age of 53 years old, see, when we hear a message like Pastor Jason just preached, we're going, you guys right here on these first two or three rows, y'all hearing this, ancients? You getting all this, right? The lady told my wife, when I was 53 years old, I built some new relationships with some people that I worked with. 53 years old. And she said, I got off track and I got messed up and I went to prison. She said, now I'm out and I'm trying to build my relationships back with my family and get back right with God where I need to be. She sat right out here two Sundays ago, 53 years old, before she ever really got off track and ended up going to prison. And I'm sitting here listening to this message going, I hope I get just a few minutes at the end of this service to share how important relationships are. See, we get in our minds, he's our youth pastor. Every message he preaches, it's just for the kids. He said it tonight. This message is for all of us. I'm 52 years old. I am in just as much danger of getting in the wrong relationships at my age as my son and my daughter and these college age kids are. I'm just as much danger, if I'm not careful, to get in the wrong relationships, start doing the wrong things, and really mess my life up. So the altar call was, if you're doing good, if you're on the fringe, or if you're already on the wrong side, or if you just want to come pray and say, God, help me to be where I need to be and do what I need to do and help me to be around the right people. They was begging that the ladies in our church would pray for them. Now, this is kind of wild for me. Because right before all of this craziness happened, the whole front of our church was full of young people who was addicted. You remember them? Now God's sending people my age and older who's addicted. there's a possibility that this coming Sunday they could be anywhere from 5 to 10 more of those older adults that's going to be here Sunday that needs help. It's amazing to me that he preached that message tonight. Who needs to come pray? Lord, help me to be what I need to be. Help me to be around the right people. Help me to do the right things. Do not, Lord, let me get sidetracked. See, this message is not for kids. This message is for all of us. It's for all of us. Good youth message, Pastor Jason. Good youth message. No. It's the Word of God for all. Help us, Father. Help us, Father, to be the right people and do the right things. Help us, Father, to say the right things to the right people. Help us to get away from those people in our lives that are just toxic. They suck every bit of the spiritual life out of us. I said us, adults. They suck all of your spiritual life out of you. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Because you are the Lord. You said that's what your name is, the Lord. That's who you are. I want you to be the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life. Help us, Father. Help us in Jesus' name.